Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, it's Mike Tomlin's Tuesday press conference. He went over the injury report coming out of Sunday's game. Sounds like running back James Conner's injury is worse than expected. He will miss some time. He also talked about what happened in the second half offensively. Is the run-pass ratio to blame there? Do the Steelers need to get back to running the football? And why was Keenan Allen matched up against a linebacker on some of the game's biggest plays? He also talked about that as well. So we're going to talk about all of that today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button and get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit the like button and join the Facebook group. And you can now find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. And let's start today with some news and notes. The Steelers making some roster moves both over the weekend and on Tuesday morning. Let's start with the roster moves they made on Saturday. They activated edge rusher Ola Adeniyi from IR onto the 53-man roster. He had spent the entire season on IR after suffering a hamstring injury in the final preseason game. A lot of hype about Adeniyi in the preseason. I was very excited to see him activated to the 53-man roster. He was there both as an insurance policy in case Bud Dupree, who has a partially torn pectoral muscle, wasn't able to play, but also just adding depth to the position, something we've talked about all year. The Steelers only have three edge rushers on the roster altogether. Forget about who's healthy and who's not. So Ola Adeniyi certainly adding some depth there as well. You saw him get a couple snaps. Looks a little undersized when he's out there against the starters. Certainly going to need to bulk up in the offseason, but I still liked what I saw from him on Sunday, and very glad to see Bud Dupree was able to play through that injury. He's going to be, he's been a real presence out there at the edge rush position. Going to need him to continue playing at that high level, even through this pectoral injury in the coming weeks. In order to make room for Adeniyi on the roster, they had to cut a player. That player was rookie Matthew Thomas, one of the shining stars of preseason, certainly a player that a lot of Steeler fans latched onto early in the process. Of course, it was a very different team back then, or at least the thoughts on the team were very different back then. You know, back during preseason training camp, a lot of the worry about the Steeler defense was that inside linebacker, and how would John Bostic or Tyler Matakevich, whoever was going to be the starter, how would they perform throughout the season? And you know, just a lot of worry about the inside linebacker position altogether, both from a starter perspective and also from a depth perspective. Really hasn't turned out that way, right? It hasn't been a season where the real worry on defense has been about guys like Vince Williams or John Bostic or anything like that. And so that kind of made Matthew Thomas expendable. They didn't need him to come in and become a starter this year, and that was really going to be a long shot from the beginning. But where it made more sense to use Matthew Thomas was in sub-package football, right? Use him as a sub-package linebacker. You saw that in the seminal defense that the Steelers created for him in the preseason in a way to get him some early reps with the starters. But the emergence of L.J. Fort has also made Matthew Thomas expendable from that way. And L.J. Fort's been a real revelation. I loved what I saw from him on Sunday. He wasn't put in advantageous matchups from time to time, but still liked what I saw from him and liked what I've seen from him throughout the entire year. And so, you know, I'm okay with, look, I'm sad to see Matthew Thomas cut, and I would have been much sadder today if he had gotten picked up by another team. He did not. He was added to the practice squad, and edge rusher Farrington Higuain was released from the practice squad. So glad to see that Thomas made his way onto the practice squad. Still want to see him as a member of this team going forward. And 2019 is going to be a big year for him. He's going to have all of the offseason and OTAs and all that mini camp and training camp of next year to work on his game and enter himself into that picture again at the inside linebacker position. So Adeniyi added to the rot to the 53 and Matthew Thomas cut from the 53 but added to the practice squad. That happened on Saturday. On Tuesday morning, the Steelers placed Justin Hunter, the wide receiver, on IR. He has a shoulder injury that he suffered during that Chargers game. It was on the play where Ben Roethlisberger missed him for what could have been an easy touchdown. He ended up diving for that football, injuring his shoulder, and it sounds like it's a significant injury. According to Ian Rapoport of NFL Network, Justin Hunter may require surgery on that injured shoulder. They're going to monitor it over the next week or so, but he'll be on injured reserve. We will not see him again in the 2018 season, and that's pretty tough. I mean, look, Justin Hunter, certainly not a key contributor for the Steelers at the outside receiver position, but considering where the Steelers are right now with James Washington, who was inactive for Sunday's game against the Chargers and really has not made a mark at all this season at the outside receiver position, it really puts the Steelers in an awkward spot. Yes, James Washington is going to enter himself back into that starting mix. You've got Darius Heyward-Bey in there as well, but just depth there is a problem, and they certainly don't have an outside receiver right now that they can trust. You can argue that they didn't even before Justin Hunter's injury, but I guess, you know, Justin Hunter's a guy who spent a lot of time in with this team over the last 2 years and in training camp working on his game with Ben Roethlisberger. Never got to a level where I think people wanted him to. Hunter's a very talented player. You can see that in practice. You can see that in training camp, but it just never appeared on the field. Tough break for both Justin Hunter and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They did not make a roster move to replace Justin Hunter at wide receiver. There is some thought that maybe Eli Rogers could take his place. We'll see how that goes over the coming days and weeks. But at this point, the Steelers are just going to roll with the wide receivers they have in place for Justin. In the roster spot that Justin Hunter being placed on IR opened up, they went out and got, they brought up to the 53-man roster Trey Edmonds, who is Terrell Edmonds' brother. He's a running back who they brought up to the 53-man roster. And that brings us to the injury report. And if they're bringing up a running back, that is not good news for James Conner. His injury is more significant than initially expected. It's an ankle sprain, not a lower leg contusion. Tomlin saying during Tuesday's press conference that it is a significant injury, a significant ankle sprain. Not necessarily a high ankle sprain or anything like that, just an ankle sprain. But this is going to keep him out of this week's game against the Raiders. It's a tough break for Connor. And the fact that he's being ruled out of this game on a Tuesday, that there's not going to be any practice participation or anything like that, he's likely going to be out of practice all week and out of this football game, that brings in real questions about when is he going to be available. Ankle sprains can last for a couple weeks, and these 3 weeks now going forward are so big for the Steelers. They got a tough game on the road against the Raiders. Yes, this should be an easy win for the Steelers, but now it's going to be a road game in Oakland, West Coast, without their starting running back, and they don't have a ton of depth there at running back, so this is going to be tough, and then they're going to go into that game against New England potentially without James Conner. Again, this is not a good time for James Conner to be down with injury, but it's going to have to be next man up, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, and that next man up likely to be Jalen Samuels, who will see the bulk of the reps, although it sounds like running back by committee is on the table as well, with a guy like Stephen Ridley coming in on third down situations. We'll see how they split carries there. Long snapper Cameron Kanade has a knee injury that he suffered against the Chargers. He was able to finish that game with the knee injury. He'll be limited in practice, according to Tomlin, at the early portions of the week. No roster moves yet, so no one being brought in as a second long snap or anything like that just yet. So I think the Steelers are expecting him to play on Sunday, but it's something to monitor over the next couple days as we see how Kanade responds to that knee injury and whether or not he's able to practice. You got to think that if Kanade can't go, maybe IR is where you place him and you bring in another long snapper. You don't necessarily want to have to hold up a roster spot for a guy like Kanade. Tough break again for the Steelers. Now, Vance McDonald is the backup long snapper. He was ready to go, and he was doing practice snaps on the sideline of Sunday's game. So we'll see if Vance has to be used at all in this one. But the hope here is that Kanade can be healthy enough to play in this one. The Steelers don't have to make another roster move to bring in another long snapper. Outside linebacker Anthony Ciccolo has an ankle injury that he suffered against the Chargers. He'll be limited in practice, and we'll see if he can play on Sunday. Same can be said about Marcus Gilbert. Tomlin's hopeful Gilbert can return himself to practice this week. This is just kind of a wait-and-see approach with Gilbert. Certainly he's not going to play against the Raiders. Right? There's no way Marcus Gilbert is going to play this week after spending so much time out of the game and rehabbing this knee injury. But if he can get back into practice, then you can start talking about him returning potentially against the Patriots, or maybe even if it takes him a little longer against that game, or against the New Orleans Saints, that game the following week. So we'll see if Marcus Gilbert returns to practice. Ryan Switzer is in the concussion protocol after the big hit he took on Sunday. According to Tomlin, I mean, it sounds pretty optimistic. It sounds like he'll be practicing on Wednesday, and that's the last step to getting out of the concussion protocol, is going through a practice like that. And Tomlin sounds optimistic that Switzer will be able to go and get out of that concussion protocol, and he'll be good to go on Sunday. Big, again, another big one there for the Steelers, because of Justin Hunter's injury, that it leaves the Steelers a little more shallow at the wide receiver position. You have to wonder if we talked about Juju going to the outside a little bit and Switzer playing in the slot. Eli Rogers could be activated, but Eli Rogers isn't going to play outside, right? So the idea here would be that you bring in, or you move Juju more to an outside receiver, you play Switzer, you play Eli Rogers in the slot, and you take your chances that way. it's not a terrible position for Juju. Not maybe not his most advantageous position. You love to see him in the slot because he does provide the mismatches there. But on the outside, Juju's been just as effective. So we'll see how the Steelers elect to play those wide receivers. But the hope here is that Switzer can go and get out of that concussion protocol. And then finally, fullback Roosevelt Nix has a shoulder injury, although according to Tomlin, that shouldn't affect his availability at all. The tough guy fullback is going to play through this one. So no real worry there for Roosevelt Nix. Hey, before we continue, want to let you guys know about Action Heat Clothing. The winter is here, and what better way to bundle up than with some Action Heat Clothing? It's engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels, similar to a heated car seat. They've got jackets, socks, gloves, hats, even undergarments like heated base layer shirts, long johns. If you're heading out to Heinz Field, you absolutely should stock up on some Action Heat Clothing for those cold weather games. It makes the perfect holiday gift for anyone in a cold weather city. And we got a special offer for listeners of this podcast. Head on over to actionheat.com/lockedon. Check out everything Action Heat has to offer, and you're going to save 20% off your entire order. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or you can use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And then let's finish up today with Mike Tomlin's Tuesday press conference. He had a lot to go over on Tuesday. There's a lot of questions about this football team, a team that's been 1-2 in the past 3 weeks, and they really need to turn things around here this week against the Oakland Raiders. Let's start with a clip where Mike Tomlin talks about the running back situation and how the Steelers are going to address it with James Conner out with an ankle injury.
Mike, with James being out, is it fair to expect y'all to run a by-committee approach out the backfield?
That is our intentions as we sit here, but we have a preparation week in front of us, and sometimes division of labor is revealed to you through that work. We got a great deal of confidence in Ridley. We got a great deal of confidence in Jalen, particularly of late with Jalen. He's a guy that's been on the rise in recent weeks. We've talked about it in here, and Trey's a guy that's played some pro football. We were excited about getting him on our practice squad when we acquired him, and so we'll put him in uniform and give him an opportunity to be a contributor as well.
And then Tomlin was asked about Jalen Samuels and why they have such trust in him at this point in the year.
You know, I just think sometimes the journey itself provides opportunity. And that opportunity provides, you know, times for guys to show and prove. And he's done that. And so he's getting increasing opportunities because of it. That was ongoing in recent weeks, even prior to James's injury. So obviously sometimes injury is a component of it, and it is now moving forward, but it wasn't in recent weeks. I think his play has been a component of it. So from that standpoint, there's some excitement.
Tomlin also asked about Stephen Ridley and his veteran presence, whether or not he'll be a factor over the next couple weeks.
There's no question, but we were thoughtful in Ridley's inclusion in our group. To have a veteran backup like that, a guy that's been in some circumstances, been in playoff football, et cetera, you know, he'll get an opportunity to show and prove.
So expect to see more running back by committee over the next week or so as the Steelers are going to be without James Conner. I expect Jalen Samuels will probably start the game, and you'll see Stephen Ridley on third down, certainly passing down. Steelers have passed a lot over the past couple weeks. We'll talk about run-pass ratio here in a second. But I like Stephen Ridley. You saw him start the game last year when Landry Jones started. All the backups started against Cleveland last year. I liked what I saw from Ridley. As Tomlin said, I think this was a savvy move, keeping a guy like Stephen Ridley around. Look, he's not going to be a starter for a football team in the long run, but in a one- or two-game stretch, I like what the Steelers are going to get from Ridley. From Samuels, on the other hand, you know, Samuels doesn't have the burst. He doesn't have the quickness that you'd want from a running back at this level. He's more of a straight ahead type runner, which is fine. Again, it was just fine for the Steelers at times, but they don't have a dynamic playmaker at running back at this point. Now, given how they've been using the running back position, they may not need that, right? Both Jalen Samuels and Ridley are capable out of the backfield. That's where they're going to be used, I think, in this game against the Raiders. I don't expect the Steelers are going to run the ball 20, 25 times. Certainly the run pass ratio is going to be out of whack in this one. And actually, let's talk about that, because Mike Tomlin was asked about the run-pass ratio and whether or not it's been a problem over the past couple weeks.
I'm not concerned about it. Like I've often said in here, we're going to be thoughtful in what we choose to do. We better be able to do all things well. Sometimes we're going to be run heavy. Sometimes we're going to be pass heavy. At the end of the day, we better be a group that's capable of attacking in both and provide that type of a balance, if you can call it balance. And I'm comfortable that we're still working in that trajectory.
I understand why the run-pass ratio has become such a hot-button topic in Pittsburgh. It certainly has been amongst the fan base, and now Tomlin's being asked about it during his press conference. I've never been a believer in the run-pass ratio or the idea that you need to run the ball a certain number of times or only throw the ball a certain number of times or anything like that. Look, if the Steelers feel like they have an advantageous matchup in the passing game, then throw the ball, right? And the same can be said about the running game. If they feel like they can run, then run the ball. Now, the Steelers have chosen in the past 3 weeks to throw the ball a lot of times. Now, some of these numbers are skewed. The Jacksonville game, 47 attempts, was skewed because of the fact that they were down late in that game and had to go to a more pass-heavy attack because they were down by two scores. The Denver game, they had a lot of late in the half situations where, again, it's very pass-heavy offense, and they were able to score at least at the end of the first half, not the end of the second half, through the interception there. And then against the Chargers, I mean, they didn't move the ball well in the second half, and we'll talk about why here in a second. But I think, you know, looking at the passing attempts and then looking at the number of turnovers for Ben Roethlisberger, that's where I think a lot of Steeler fans start raising their eyebrows. Say, hey, hold on a second here. Ben Roethlisberger's thrown the ball 150-plus times in the past couple weeks, and he's thrown six interceptions in those games. That's a problem. And, you know, I've talked about it the past couple weeks, about this team leaving too many points on the field, and you can definitely point to Ben Roethlisberger's interceptions as being a big part of that. You know, the interception this week where the Steelers were in the red zone, it could have at least gotten a field goal out of that drive, and instead it ends in an interception on a stupid pass to Vance McDonald. The same can be said for the interception in the end zone. The Steelers, now that's one where should the Steelers have even been throwing the ball there? You know, James Conner was so effective against the Chargers in running the ball on the goal line, and you have to feel like they would have had some of the same success if they had just given it more chances against Denver. Connor only got one attempt on the goal line. I think that's a place where the run-pass ratio was out of whack. Jacksonville, look, the Jacksonville game, the Steelers just didn't play well offensively at all. The fact that they threw the ball 47 times, you know, they kind of had to at the end of that one because they got behind by so many points. But I'm not looking at this game. I'm not looking at this and saying that the Steelers need to run the ball more to limit their exposure to Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think that's going to be winning football either, right? Certainly what they're doing now in leaving as many points on the field, that's not winning football. But I also think, you know, getting Ben Roethlisberger and kind of putting a cap on the number of passing attempts you'd like to see him have, whether that's 25, 30, 35, I don't think that's winning football either, right? This team needs to move the football efficiently and score points, however that's going to be. And I think, look, a large part of this is going to have to be in the passing game now because of the injury to James Conner. But I also want to kind of put an end to this talk about how Ben Roethlisberger's, you know, having one of his worst seasons, or, you know, he's turning the ball over too often or something like that. The interceptions are a problem, but the percentage of interceptions that Ben Roethlisberger is throwing is not different, right? It's not like he's being more careless with the football in 2018 than he's ever been in his career. He's just throwing the ball far more often, right? I mean, that's the modern NFL that we're playing in. And look, this is a team, and I've talked about this maybe 1,000 times in this podcast, but this is a team that has to get to a point where it can score 30 to 40 points every single week with consistency. It's not there yet. It's not there yet. So, you know, could running the ball more, you know, maybe even that out? Maybe, and we'll see that, although I doubt it without Connor in the lineup. But that's where they have to get. Now, the idea that these interceptions are, you know, are the fault of Ben Roethlisberger, who's playing poorly. Look, Ben Roethlisberger has thrown the ball 517 times this year. He's thrown 13 interceptions. That's an interception percentage of 2.5%. 2.5% is pretty much his career average. His career average is 2.7%. 2.5 is what he threw last year. 2.6 is what he threw the year prior. So yes, he's going to throw more interceptions, but that's who Ben Roethlisberger is. And so if the idea is that we have to hide Ben Roethlisberger because he throws too many interceptions, well then the question really is Ben Roethlisberger good enough to win a Super Bowl in 2018? And I think, you know, that really is going to be the question for the remainder of the season, because the Steelers are going to have to rely on Ben Roethlisberger to throw to win some games here down the stretch. Tomlin was also asked about this game against the Chargers and whether or not there were enough adjustments offensively in the second half.
You know, I wasn't concerned with anything schematically or things that needed to be done from an adjustment standpoint, to be quite honest with you. It was about our execution, or maybe lack thereof. There wasn't a major schematic adjustment. I thought we were capable of moving the ball fluidly. I thought we did, except when we hurt our own causes due to penalties and so forth.
Tomlin's absolutely right that the penalties in the second half were really the story offensively and why this team was not able to move the ball with the consistency it was in the first half. You look at the first drive of the third quarter for the Steelers, and they were moving the ball just as well as they were in the first half. They started at their own 25. They got the ball out to about midfield. They were at the Chargers 48-yard line. When James Conner went right tackle, had a 22-yard run, was going to put the Steelers at the Chargers 26-yard line right there in scoring position. And instead, the Steelers were called for holding, and that brings them back to second and 14, and the Steelers were not able to convert from there. And then you go to the next drive where not only did a penalty kind of kill this drive, but a penalty killed this drive from the start in that they could have started from the 24-yard line. Instead, they have to start from their own 14 after getting called for holding on special teams. And so now the Steelers have to go 50, 60 yards to get anywhere close to field goal range on this drive. They again, started to move the ball pretty well. They got themselves out to the 31-yard line. They got a nice little screen pass to Connor, like Tomlin talked about. Nice little 8-yard play would have set up third and one. Instead, they get called for holding again. That sets them up at second and 19. Ben Roethlisberger got sacked, and that was the end of that drive. So, you know, I know it feels like the Steelers were so ineffective in the second half, but really, I mean, they were able to move the football with some consistency. Just the penalties killed them down the stretch there, and that led to the Steelers really being ineffective in the second half offensively. Tomlin was also asked about James Washington and whether or not he's going to be reworked into this offense now after the injury to Justin Hunter.
But it's also an opportunity for things to boomerang back around for James Washington. And I'm kind of excited about that, to be quite honest with you. Such is life in this game at this level. You know, sometimes you get knocked down. You got to get in the lab and work. And oftentimes that's done in obscurity, if you will. And you wait for your opportunity to get back on and to ride again and to show what you're capable of. Not a lot of time on the shelf for James. And so it's going to be exciting to watch him get back on this week and take advantage of someone else's misfortune and be a positive contributor to our efforts. Excited about the potential inclusion of him again as well.
So it sounds like James Washington will get another opportunity at outside receiver. Now the question is, how much of an opportunity will he get? I expect to see the Steelers using Juju on the outside and Switzer on the inside plenty in this football game. Those are your best three receivers right now. And James Washington, although I would love to see a redemption story for him in Oakland, you know, you can't have any trust in him right now, nor should you have any trust in him right now. And I'm sure the Steelers are feeling the same way. So as much as I'd love to see a redemption story for James Washington, I just don't think it's going to happen. I think if you're the expectations for James Washington should be in the 2019 season, not necessarily in the 2018 season. And then shifting over to the defensive side of the ball, Tomlin was asked about the game plan on Sunday defensively and whether or not this defense got the looks it wanted to, specifically with the linebackers covering wide receivers.
You know, in some instances I didn't, but that's life. You know, that's the chess match that is NFL, particularly at this portion of the journey. Sometimes you have guys available, sometimes you don't. It was no secret we were without Morgan Burnett and Cam Sutton, two of our core kind of interior sub-package defenders. So, you know, they were going to be some smoke and mirror play, if you will. And it was. But when you're playing a guy like Phillip Rivers, who has big-time autonomy at the line of scrimmage, sometimes you run out of smoke.
For Mike Tomlin, a guy who loves to use the phrase next man up when referring to injured players or players that aren't going to be available, for him to use this excuse now that they didn't have the right personnel to defend Keenan Allen in the slot is ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Look, the idea that linebackers are covering wide receivers is not in any way related to the fact that Morgan Burnett or Cam Sutton was not available. It hurt. Right? It hurt the Steelers defensively that those guys weren't available. But linebackers covering wide receivers, you can go all the way back to the game against Cincinnati and watch T.J. Watt try to cover A.J. Green in the middle of the field and how much success the Bengals had in that game getting A.J. Green inside and watching him be matched up against linebackers. I'm sure it's something that the Chargers saw on tape throughout the week and saw that there were certain looks they could get the Steelers in where they would get Keenan Allen matched up against linebackers. Certainly it would be very advantageous to them to do so. And they did time and time again, especially in the second half and especially down the stretch in this football game. I point to the worst instance of this which is the Steelers staying in base defense on the last meaningful play, the 3rd and 4, and having John Bostic, the worst coverage linebacker the Steelers have on the roster, covering Keenan Allen on the key pivotal 3rd and 4. And it wasn't even close. I mean, that play wasn't close. Keenan Allen was wide open on that play for an easy first down. So I don't buy into it for a second. This is why Steeler fans are so frustrated with the coaching staff. Is because this has been a problem all season, and now teams are finally going to start taking advantage of it, and the Steelers have no answer to it. That's really frustrating. It's something that if it continues against New England, if it continues against New Orleans, the Steelers are going to get thoroughly embarrassed defensively in those games. Tomlin was also asked about L.J. Fort and his play in this game. I thought L.J. Fort was terrific. Here's what Tomlin had to say.
You know, Ford has played some sub-package ball for us, so, you know, that's been a component of play. The amount that Ford played probably had to do with the lack of Morgan Burnett and Cam Sutton and less about he and Bostic.
I really hope to see more L.J. Fort over the next couple weeks. He and Javon Hargrave have been revelations, both on the defensive line with Hargrave and at linebacker with L.J. Fort. Fort was terrific. Now, he wasn't always put in the most advantageous positions in this game because of the game plan the Steelers had defensively. But, man, Fort, when he's out there, he's always around the football. That's been his MO all year. You know, is he the best inside linebacker the Steelers have right now? I know John Ledyard, the former host of this podcast, has been he's a broken record about that on Twitter. I'm starting to buy into it, man. LJ Fort is tremendous out there and was again in this football game. I'm sad to hear Tomlin say that the reasons why he was out there playing are not because of his play on the field and how good he's been, but because they didn't have Morgan Burnett and they didn't have Cam Sutton. I'd love to see more LJ Fort in these situations. And then finally today, Mike Tomlin addressed the turnover ratio, specifically the number of turnovers the defense has been getting and what a problem that's been throughout the year, what they're doing to fix it.
Man, we're in the process of working on it. It's done in a lot of ways. A lot of it is done by creating environments, putting a quarterback under duress and so forth. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I've been disappointed in the lack of turnovers, because the quarterback largely has been under duress in the games that we've played. We've gotten after the quarterback. Our sack total is kind of a reflection of that. We got to be more opportunistic, and we got to preach it. We got to work it. The guys got to deliver. We're definitely not going to sit on our hands and wait patiently for it to occur. We're going to actively seek it, which is what we're doing.
Turnovers have become a real problem for the Steelers over the past 3 weeks, and we talked about them offensively with Ben Roethlisberger and his interceptions. The fumbles have been just as bad. But defensively, the Steelers haven't been creating turnovers of their own, and that's been just as big a problem as the turnovers that they're committing on offense, right? I mean, the Steelers don't have a meaningful turnover during this three-game span. The only turnover they got was that sack fumble they got on Bortles on what was essentially the last play of that game. Otherwise, they got nothing to show for it, right? And Tomlin is right to say that the fundamentals are there, right? In that they're getting to the passer, they're creating havoc in that way, and that should lead to more interceptions, but it's not. And so, you know, there's two things that can be said there. One, is it just that the Steelers have gotten unlucky over the past couple weeks? Well, I mean, I think you can certainly make an argument that the Steelers have gotten unlucky the last couple weeks, given some of the play on the field. But I think it's also the idea that, you know, you just don't have a ball-hawking secondary. You got Sean Davis playing free safety for the first time in his career, and he's been pretty good in that spot, but he's not a ball hawk back there by any stretch. In fact, he's looking to hit people, not looking at the ball. And you saw that in the end zone when Keenan Allen caught that tip or the tip touchdown, which should have been an interception, ended up being a tip touchdown because Sean Davis went for Joe Hayden instead of going for the football and took the ball from Hayden and gave it to Keenan Allen. You got Terrell Edmonds back there, who, again, Terrell Edmonds playing so hesitant right now, there's just no way he's going to be in spots to get big interceptions, although he does have a couple interceptions on the year. He's just still playing so hesitant right now. You look at even the sack he had against the Chargers, and you look at him kind of being real hesitant even to rush the passer there. And then you look at the linebacking core, and it's just not full of super athletes or guys who are going to come up with, you know, ball-hawking type interceptions, and that's where the Steelers are. I mean, Hayden's probably their best bet there, Hilton as well, but Cody Sensabaugh is probably not going to be that guy. Now, I will say the Steelers have gotten a pass rush. They should be getting more turnovers. Those turnovers will hopefully come in the next couple weeks if that pass rush stays where it is. And so there's some level of just being bad luck to this, but I think it's also the idea that the play in the secondary, it's something we worried about all year, right? The play in the secondary is not good, right? I mean, the Steelers don't have great players back there, and I think the way that's manifesting itself right now is not necessarily by teams being able to just pick this team apart down the football field, but by not being able to be ball hawks and play the ball well when it's down the field. And so that's led to a lack of turnovers for the Steelers as well. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry. And tomorrow, it's Crossover Wednesday right here on Locked On Steelers.